Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryan Karavavahai Tejasri Navaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Sri Natya Shastra, Chaitanopanayanam, Chapter 35, Distribution of Roles in a Play, page 49. Okay. Okay, characteristics of an actor. An actor, Nata, should be lively, literally bright, possessed of a good physique, acquainted with theatrical accessories and their uses, possessed of intelligence, conversant with the rules of theatrical practice, and expert in his own work. Right, so they're they look good. They can project energy and everything like that. They know how to practically use the elements of the stage, and they know the rules of the stage, like that. You know, then they can be directed. Otherwise, if the director says no, but Bharamuni says you should do like this, and they say, ah, what Bharamuni? You know, like that. Then you have a problem, right? Characteristics of a paramour. Right here, a paramour is considered an inferior person because of being lecherous, right? They may have other good qualities, like you'll see, but because when you add that in, that makes them the lesser character. So the main difference, lesser character doesn't have there's some good qualities lacking, but it doesn't mean that they don't have knowledge and skills like a superior character. Mm. But they don't have the proper qualities. That's where the difference is. It's not because nowadays it's I know what he knows, so we're the same. Mm. But it's no. But it's a matter of the character. You know, mm. You know the qualities that are there. Okay, possessing all the qualities which the director is to have with regard to the theatrical production. So that means he's quite, you know, knowledgeable. The paramour, Vita, should be an expert in dealing with courtesans, sweet with his words, impartial, poetic, proficient in the meaning of the shastras and in the knowledge of courtesans, capable of seeing the positive and negative side of any argument, and eloquent and clever. Right? Because if he has these, then he'll be attractive. Right? Because without knowing the shastras, without having that poetics, without being able to speak, without being able to see the positive and negative in anything like that. Because anything that's, let's say something's negative, but it'll have some positive. And the positive, you'll see the negative, so you can practically apply. It's very, it's practical. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Summarize, Eric is said about different characteristics like that. But what are, is it in the Vedic approach, do we have any, lover in the sense that in the right sense? Because the paramour is like influenced by the passion in heaven.
Krishna.
Yes, only him, more or less.
Basically.
Yes.
Because the whole point is why would somebody not be dealing with their own position unless something is more attractive.
Yes.
Right? So, but the point is it's not a value. For spiritual life, it's not a value. And since the Vedic culture is about that, then there's no importance to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the uniqueness of this. So that means the paramour, just because they have all these good qualities, like that, and so therefore that's what makes them attractive.
Yes.
But the point is because of their material desire, you know, that's then what makes them inferior. But otherwise, they wouldn't be. It's just like you have the big hero, you know, with all good qualities. Mm-hmm. And the bad guy is just this low class, you know, uncultured guy. It doesn't match. No. It has to be someone who he has the same qualities, but just he's grossly materialistic. Then there's an evenness and match. You understand? So that's the whole point, is the paramour has to have that quality. So if you talk about the suave person, then it's going to be the one that has all good qualities, dressed nicely, does everything perfectly, speaks. I mean, there's no fault in him other than he's lusty.
Yes.
And therefore he can't stick to what he should.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's the guy. It's not the guy sitting over, you know, on the side, you know, in a ratty T-shirt and you know, like that, and flip-flops. It's the guy sitting over there in the tuxedo, you know, and it's good. You know, it's you know, he's the guy that's the problem. So that's what we're saying. He has the same qualities. And he knows how to deal. But he's only applying it here with the courtesans and that. The director, he's dealing with everybody. But he's only interested, he applies all that knowledge just on the courtesans, how to please courtesans. So that's where he sees the opportunity. Because he's not going to go for anybody else. Because they have better character than him, so they're not interested. Like that. So he has to stay with those. Because inside the palace, he doesn't have a place. But outside, because the courtesans go outside. They're out, they're in, like this. So they come out, that's where he deals with them. You know, because they're high class and they'll appreciate his culture. But at the same time as they're available. Is that?
Yeah.
The characteristics of a Sakara. The Sakara is one who wears gaudy, literally brilliant clothes and ornaments, and grows angry without adequate reason, and gets pacified likewise, and who is an inferior character, and speaks Magadhi, and has manifold changes in his conduct. Footnote 13. Shakara refers in general to a brother of a king's ordinary wife, or concubine, who brags about his relationship with the king. But yeah, so overly... People don't have that character, but they overly do it, you know, like that. Characteristics of the jester.
Right. Hmm. New rich.
Yeah, the new rich, new rich. Like that. Or, yeah, anybody like that. They get a little money and they always buy loud clothes and stuff like that. Yeah. Characteristics of the jester. The jester, Vidushak, should be dwarfish, should possess big teeth, and be hunchbacked, double-tongued, bald-headed and tawny-eyed. Maybe a comma after double-tongued?
Yeah.
Unless it's a double-tongued bald-headed, like that, instead of a single-tongued bald-headed. Yeah, so in other words, he should look funny.
Yeah.
The point is he is funny, he should look funny. Like that. That's the idea. So it's just something that's just not proper. Characteristics of a servant. Yeah. Yes, remember before it mentioned about brown-eyed, so tawny-eyed means it's a lighter color. So it'll be some other funny color, like that. You know, nowadays people are into that, but, you know. Characteristics of a servant. A servant, Cheta, should be fond of quarrel, garrulous, uncouth in form, and give service under bondage, and be expert in distinguishing between persons who are to be honored and who are not. Right? Because the servant, he's very expert in that. So if you're to be honored, oh, they're so nice. And if you're not of special honor, they couldn't care less about it. And they let you know. They're fond of quarrel, garrulous, like that, uncouth. They just deal that. But if somebody like this and that, somebody, oh, yes. Like that, as soon as they go, then like this. That's just, because then it makes for more, how you say? Everything becomes more interesting. You know, like that. Because you're taking everything to extreme. Because you can have a wide range. You know? But then you're going to see... So now if you see someone's a servant and they have very high qualities, you'll know they don't belong there.
Yes.
You know, that was the whole thing. I think it was... can't remember how it worked. When I think Damayanti came to the palace of, not sure who's, if it was the, she came to some kingdom, and because she's a queen, she knows all the vastu and everything like that, so she knew where to go through the kingdom to get to the, to where you can come to the inner chain, you know, to the entrance, how you get into the harem. So she came there, and then, you know, announced herself and this and that, and she was let in. And so then, I think it's the mother, you know, the queen mother, the princess, then she was seeing her character, and she was seeing, you know, she asked questions and this and that, and she, how she gave answers, because she didn't reveal who she was. But she was just saying that you can be the one who trains. Remember, there was the man who's with the prince and trains, because they're very cultured in that, can always be there and very responsible. So there's a similar for the princess. So she said, can you do this? I think she first just said, okay, you can do something here. And she said, but I have a few conditions, right? You know, and you don't expect. Yes. Servants is just, they'll do whatever it is as long as they get their job, right? And then they can behave badly, whatever. She said, I won't eat anyone's remnants. I won't do this. I won't do that. She mentioned a few things. And then the queen mother looked at her and says, who are you? Like that. It says, you're not a servant. So then she understood. And then I think also, when she said that, because they also know history, because part of history is you have to know up to what's going on now. So current events, you have to know. It's part of history. So the queen knows, you know, knows what are the character or the characteristics of each dynasty. Because if you go and visit them, you have to, you know, certain things you bring up, certain things you don't, certain things you do, certain. So she knows all that. And when she heard this, she says, you're from here. Yeah. Yeah. So then she made her the one to take care of the princess. So, therefore, not that you won't have some, but you see in a theme, if you have someone who's a servant that doesn't have characteristics like that, you'll see with time they somehow or another are move up.
Yes.
Like that. But someone with characteristics like that, they stay a servant. That they are a servant, you're comfortable. That they remain one, you're comfortable. But if they don't have these characteristics, you expect them to move up in life. Does that make sense? So you might have a theme where, like they said, Damiya becomes, but then she moves up. You know, or the Pandavas, right? They walk into the palace and all that, and by what it is and what they look and how they behave, they're not just common servants.
Yes.
Like that. You know, so therefore, then everybody's made, because they don't have these kind of qualities. You know, but they said, you know, I used to take care of the cows for Yudhishthir. I used to take care of the horses for Yudhishthir. I used to cook for Yudhishthir. You know, like this and that, and so like that. Characteristics of a courtesan. A woman who is always engaged in attending the teacher, acharya, in connection with application of various arts and crafts, and is endowed with amorous movements, emotion, hava, and feeling, bhava, temperament, sattva, discipline, sweetness of manners, and is conversant with the 64 arts and crafts, kala, is expert in dealing with the king and free from female diseases, and has sweet and endearing words, is clear in her speech, right? You know, so it's exact. She says what she means. She's not political. Clever and undaunted by fatigue is called a courtesan, ganika, right? Because they can move in these high-class circles and move like that, because they can move with the king, with the acharyas, they can do all the arts. So therefore, then, if there's something going on, let's say in the palace, they're going to do, they can take part in this. You know, and everything like that. So they're very qualified, very very qualified. So you can see, is therefore then the paramour has to be very qualified. Otherwise, he's not catching these girls. Characteristics of a typical heroine. A woman with the following qualities should be given the role of a heroine. She should be endowed with a good physical form, good qualities, character, and young age. And should possess gold necklace and garlands, and should be shining, affectionate, sweet, and should possess charming words with a lovely voice, and should be steady, literally unperturbed, in the exercise, yogya, and conversant with Laya and Tala and sentiments, and should have all kinds of ornaments and be dressed with garlands and scents. So she looks very good, she behaves very well, and she knows, you know, very nicely the, you know, how to interact and all that. She knows all the music and all those things. Women disqualified to take up a role. So it means they should have these qualities, even if they're older, if they can play younger parts. You do sometimes, like we said before, it's rare. Generally, then, if they're older, they play older parts, but sometimes they're younger, they can play. Yeah? Women disqualified to take up a role. But a woman should not be made a heroine in any theatrical show when she smiles on wrong occasions, is rough in appearance, has an uneven gait and movement, persistent anger, miserable look, and is always haughty and fickle. Right? And so then, yeah. So then you'll get in the modern kind of things, you'll get ones where they look the part, but they don't have the character.
Yes.
That really becomes a problem. You know, so nowadays that'll be more. So it's rare that you hear as, you know, the one who plays the heroine, she's a nice person. You know, backstage, or the person who plays the hero, he's a nice person backstage, because generally they're all haughty and this and that and fickle and don't come out of their the trailer.
Plankton.
Yeah, like that. They just go into the trailer, don't come out. You know, it's time for the scene. They don't care. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. These are the characters that the producers of plays should know about. Verses 88 to 109. Members of a typical theatrical party. I shall next speak of different members of a theatrical party, Bharata. Members, Bharata, refers to those who conduct as the leader in the performance of a play by acting in many roles and playing many instruments and by providing many accessories. They are the jester, Vidushak, the musicians, Tauripa, the actor, dancers, Nata, the director, Sutradhara, playwright, Natyakara, the crown maker, Mukta Karaka, the maker of ornaments, Abhara Nakrita, and garlands, the dyer, Rajaka, the painter, Chitrakara, other craftsmen, Karu and Silpin, Kushi Lavas. Who are Kushi Lavas?
Been there.
Okay. It wasn't before?
It's after. The principles of instrumental music.
He abides by the principles of music. Okay. Yeah. So then. Yeah. Okay. Jester. One who looks to people's pleasure can imitate manners of all people. Mm-hmm. Resorts to various means and mixes with women. Is ready-witted and disclosures made through pleasantry or in covert pleasure, and is clever and can give censure through his words, is to be known as a jester, Vidushak. Because, you know, so before it was like, what was the qualities, what he looked like, but here's what he can do. He's always looking to other people's pleasure, because a Vidushak means a clown. He's always looking to make everybody else happy. And so that means he can copy anybody. You know, somebody walks, he can immediately walk like they walk. He can talk, he can immediately talk like they talk. That's what makes him a clown. Yeah. But as soon as they do that, you laugh, you don't get upset because you know this guy's a clown. Yeah. You know, you don't take him seriously, you know. So, yeah. Like that. Ready-witted, you know, and even when he expresses things, he doesn't do it through gossip or through, you know, others trying to make things sound bad or this, that. He does it through pleasantries, you know, like how you say, you know, like he'll be telling the king, you know, that something's going wrong and perhaps the king needs to do this or something, you know, rather than saying, oh, this is wrong, you know, like that. Master musician, one who is skilled in playing tura, has a liking for all the instruments and is an expert in playing them all. What is the tura? Do we know? and possesses all kinds of musical instruments, is called Taurīpa, master musician. Okay, because he has a Tura, he's a Taurīpa. Okay.
That explains.
That explains everything. So when the guy walks in, says, "Do you have a Tura?" He says, "A what? Forget it." Okay, next. Okay. Yeah. Actor dances, not the, okay, so. Yeah, you have to have adjusted musicians, actors who can dance, director, play, and then everybody else who supports. But it's interesting how the Vidushak musicians and actors, you have that, then you have your basis there. You know, then you're going to have the director to oversee it, playwright, then the guys who do all the background stuff, and the musicians. Actor. Meaning of the root not is to act, literally acts. And hence, as he acts, nut yayati, again and again, the stories of men with sentiment, states, and temperament, he is called, literally, he becomes a nata, actor. Director, one who knows from the teaching of the learned Shishta, the principal sutra of applying songs, instrument, music, and recitatives in their unity, is called a sutradhar, director. Right, so then you can put all the things. What is the Shastra saying? What, you know, how things are spoken, how things are, the music goes, and you can put that all together. Then you can be a director. Playwright, because he puts in different sentiments, states, and temperaments, as taught in the Shastra, in different characters, a person is called a playwright, Natyakara. So it's still, again, he has to know all the sentiments and that, but according to Shastra.
Yes.
Right? Actor, again. One who can apply the music of four kinds of instruments and produce a play according to the meaning of the Shastra as well as his own reasoning is called an actor. So then he knows music and he knows, so because otherwise if he doesn't know music, he won't be able to work with the music as well. So
I couldn't catch the difference between both, so I just kept it as it is.
No, it seems to be, one is he's saying what makes them an actor, means what, literally what the word means, and then here it's that he can apply music of the four kinds, produce a play according to the meaning of Shastra. So according to how Shastra is, then he can therefore act and do things in that way. You know, actress. A woman knows all about the playing of drums, laya, temple, and tal, and is conversant with sentiments and is beautiful in all her limbs, should be made an actress, Natyakiya, the crown maker. He who makes masks and various special dresses together with headgears, shirshaka, or prati shirshaka, suited to various characters, is called a crown maker, Muktakara. So it basically means all the, it means the, the whole dress. But specifically, it has to go with the crown.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're doing with the demigods, this, that, kings, you need crowns.
Yeah.
But what matches that, what they would wear, everything like that. So the he does all the costumes.
Yeah.
Like that. The maker of ornaments. One who makes ornaments according to various rules is called a maker of ornaments. Abhara, Abhara Nakrit. And each maker of ornaments is to be named according to the material he uses. Right, so some may be using one material, some another, and accordingly that's then their position. Maker of garlands. He who makes five kinds of garlands is called a maker of garlands, Malaya Krit. The Veshakara. He who looks after dressing is called Veshakara. So the one who helps them dress and you know, like that, assists in that, sees they're doing all those kind of things. The painter, the dryer, and the craftsman. One who knows painting is a painter, Chitrakara, and from his knowledge of dyeing clothes, a person is called a dyer, Rajaka, and one who fashions different objects out of lac, stone, metal, and wood is called a craftsman, Karu, right? Because you make all kinds of things. You make the thrones, you make this, you make the scenery, all that. So between these three, they do all the scenery, and make all the background clothes that then the crown maker is going to put together, and that the ornaments and the garlands like that, and then the Vaishyakar is going to help them dress and put it on. So he does, you know, makeup and everything.
About the crown maker, it's, the demigods, they have different style of crowns.
Yes. Even within it, there's so many different kinds of crowns. Like that. And so accordingly, then, you know, then they're made. You know, who's wearing at what time, or even just variety.
Yes.
You know? So the whole point is with that crown will go an outfit.
Yes, yes.
You know?
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that I have an outfit which you cry. Point is you're someone who wears a crown.
Yes.
Therefore, the crowns are the things, and then what outfit matches that.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So it goes that way down. You know, and then the costumers, how to dress, what makeup to put, all these things like that. Okay. Yes, you know. So ornaments are going to be separate, and garlands are going to be separate. Doesn't mean that one of these isn't overseeing all that, but like that. Okay. The Kushilava. He can apply the principles of instrumental music and is himself an expert in playing instruments. It's called a Kushilava because of his being Kushala, clever, and Avadatta, refined and free from agitation. Avya Tita. Mm-hmm. The man who takes to an art or craft, silpa, a profession or practice, and has himself acquired proficiency in it is called by its name. So in other words, whatever the craft that you know, the profession, you're known by that name. That's why the guy that deals with the rickshaws is called a rickshawala. And even you can just call him, oh, rickshaw.
Yes, yes.
You know, you're calling the guy, not the rickshaw.
Yes.
You know? Yes. You know, so it's it just goes along together.
Yes.
I have spoken about the assignment of roles and about the makers of a drama according to their function, and have pronounced the canons of drama. Please mention, O sages, what more is to be said now. Chapter 36, Descent of Drama on the Earth. So this is the last one.
Yes, sir.
Adhyaya Prakashika. The current chapter describes how drama descended to the earth and what predictions, benedictions one can obtain by the proper performance of a drama. After hearing about the science of drama from the mouth of Bharat Muni, the sages inquire from him on how did the drama, which is a prerogative of the devas, descend to the earth. In reply to the sages' question, Bharat Muni details the story of his son's being. The story of his son's being cursed by the heavenly sages. Is that even a word? Bane? It might be one of those ancient, you know, words or something. It starts being cursed by the heavenly sages and their eventual fall down to the earth. The author ends his description of the book by pronouncing a final benediction to those who adhere to proper performance of the drama. He describes that a man who properly attends the performance of music, Gandharva, and dramas will, after his death, attain the happy and meritorious path in the company of Brahminic sages. Shloka Anusharanam. 1-14, sages question Bharat Muni, 15-31, Bharat Muni's reply to the sages, 32-41, the sages curse Bharat's sons, 42-51, consolation of Bharat's sons, 52-63, Nahusha invites divine artists to the earth, 64-76, Bharat grants his request and sends his sons to the earth, 77-83, final benediction of the Natya Shastra, verses 1-14, sages question Bharat Muni. Being pleased with this, the sages such as Atreya, Vishishta, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Angiras, Gotama, Agastya, Manu, the wise Ayush, Vishwamitra, Stulashiras, Samvarta, Pratimardhana, Ushanas, Brihaspati, Vatsa, Shyavana, Kasyapa, Dhruva, Durvasas, Jamadagni, Markandeya, Galava, Bharadvaj, Raibya, the Venerable Valmiki, Shtulaksha, Shankulaksha, Kanva, Medhatiti, Kusha, Narada, Parvata, Shusharman, the two Eka, Tanvins, Nishyuti, Bhavana, Domya, Shatananda, Krita Vrana, Jamadagni Rama, Jamadagni, and Vamana again spoke out of curiosity to the omniscient Bharata these words. This is a serious assembly here.
In drama, everybody's there.
Yeah, no, I mean this is like a, this is, you know, you're not going to get better than this. Right? Sorry?
Gala gathering.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, the only one better than this was Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, Sukadeva Goswami. Then you had everybody, right? Even Brahma, Shiva came up. So they spoke. The ancient Natya Veda, which you have spoken, has been properly comprehended by us listening to it attentively. But you, Venerable Sir, should also remove any doubt we may have in this regard. For who else can speak definitely about the Natya Veda? We shall inquire from you more about drama for our enlightenment and not out of any distrust, rivalry, or jealousy. Right? So making sure is we're asking these questions not because we doubt it, nor trying to create any difficulty here. It's that we just want to know more. Like that. We did not speak earlier about this, for there should not be any interruption. Right? Because he started off and mentioned about the whole opening, and then he spoke through, but they probably had this question from the beginning when it was made, so, you know, that this question would have come up. But because he was already speaking, they didn't want to interrupt. So, speak to us exhaustively about the mystery of drama. You have already said that exploits of men constitute drama. Hence, you should speak definitely about what has been kept hidden from people. O best Brahmana, literally the bull of the twice born. You can always put just, O bull of the twice born. I mean, that's at least see.
So now it is a definition of the Brahmana. We can compare.
Yeah, means it's like the bull. He's religion and that, and he's so powerful. Therefore, amongst, you know, all the Brahmins, and he's very powerful and all that. Very, you know. Like also you have amongst the Kshatriyas, they'll use that. You know, but generally they don't say, oh, bull amongst the businessmen, you know, like that. They'll use something else, you know. You know, they'll compare him to Kuvera or something, you know, like that. So.
Also you don't use for the demigods. They feel offended if you compare them with...
with a bull, yeah.
Because they are like 10,000, millions of thousand times more powerful.
Yeah.
Only mountains...
Yeah.
Yes,
that's right. That's right.
You need to be careful.
Yes, you have to be careful.
When you speak with the demigods.
Yes, definitely. Tell us about the character of the god who appears in the preliminaries, Purvaranga. Why is the sound of musical instruments applied there? What purpose does it serve when applied? What god is pleased with this? And what does he do on being pleased? Why does the director, being himself clean, perform ablution again on the stage? How, O sir, the drama has come down to the earth from heaven. Why have your descendants come to be known as Shudras? Because originally, then drama was all done by Brahmins, and so now so how is it that, you know, those in this field now are all Shudras?
It's a very nice question.
Yeah, yeah. No, all these are nice. Yeah. So these he didn't explain before.
Yes.
Not like that. Verses 15 to 31. Bharata Muni's reply to the sages. The sage Bharata, on hearing these words of the wise men, spoke again to them for explaining the matter which was confidential. I shall explain to you, O Brahmanas, what you persons with excellent vow inquire regarding the rules of the preliminaries. Listen carefully about it. The preliminaries have been described in the continuation of whatever I have said earlier about the destruction I guess, of obstacles. Just as the body is covered with an armor for warding off missiles, so sins of all kinds are avoided with Homa. After I have thus warded off the sins and destroyed the obstacles by worshipping gods with Japa, Homa, words of adoration and blessings, and songs about their benevolent deeds and attitudes, and with the playing of all instruments and sound of songs, they, the gods, being pleased with the singing of their praise, said, "We are exceedingly delighted with the performance of yours." As if Nandati pleases the people.
Pleases the people. I think that Nandati should come after pleasing the people.
As Nandati pleases the people. After pleasing the gods and the asuras, his performance will be called Nandi, benediction.
And what is Nandati? What is Nandati?
Please.
Nandati means to please.
I think Nandati means to please. To please.
Oh, so it's as it, Nandati.
That should be in brackets.
Maybe put Nandati in brackets. We are exceedingly delighted with the performance of yours, as it pleases the people. After pleasing the gods and the asuras, this performance will be called Nandi, benediction. So, means you, the performance was very nice, and he was very pleased with it. And having been done after the performance of pleasing the gods and asuras in the beginning with all the preliminaries, therefore it will be called Nandi, benediction. Yeah, is that also that opening part is all called, I think it's called Nandi. When auspicious words uttered with proper intonation, in accompaniment of songs and playing of instruments, resound a region, all evils will disappear, and prosperity will ensue there. In so much space as is filled with sound of musical instruments, there will be no rakshasas or leaders of vignas, vigna vinayaka. On hearing the sound of Nandi and recitatives, songs and playing of instruments during marriages of all kinds and sacrifices performed for the prosperity of kings, ferocious spirits will make themselves scarce, and this, i.e. the sound of the Nandi, will be equal to the exposition Vedic mantras. Yeah, so all these invocations, just like you see with the, you know, in the weddings, you know, traditionally you have the shanai playing and all that kind of thing. And so wherever you can hear that, there won't be any spirits will make themselves scarce. You know, so that's why then when it's going on, then even though you're disturbed, you don't go over there. You just take the pillow and cover your head because you're trying to sleep.
Also that. When the main event is coming, the sound of the instruments also goes to a peak. Like when...
Yeah, so then they'll all play and... Yeah, because they'll play along with the things. So when it comes to the Mangala Sutra, right, then it'll happen. Like that, yeah. So all this will be equal to the Vedic, you know, mantras that you would do as invocation and all that. So these are then for the drama and for the marriages and auspicious ceremonies, and these are... This music and that are the same. I have heard from the gods of gods, God of gods, Indra, and afterwards from Shankara, Shiva. I guess it would be an N, right? That music, vocal as well as instrumental, is in fact 1,000 times superior to bath in holy waters and to japa. In places in which there occur instrumental music and dramatic performance, or song and instrumental music, There will surely be. Yeah, never. There surely never be any kind of inauspicious happening. Thus, I've devised the preliminaries as a ceremony of adoration for worshipping deities with laudatory verses and mantras. Right. So, when it comes to these things, rather than just sitting down and chanting some japa or like that, then the music and all that's even better. So that's why we see is that when it comes to these public things, when you're dealing with people and all that, then the kirtan is the more important aspect. Like that. You know. Not that it's in itself, means hear the music and that it's more powerful, but it will catch the attention, it will uplift the conscience, it'll do all these different things very nicely. Okay? You know, so for us, then you have the holy name and the music. You know, so it becomes even better.
Are the M with dot down?
Hmm?
Shankara.
Yeah, it's an N rather than a.
M with dot down is also a method of representation. Generally, if M.
No. But I'm just saying it is, but since we use the N, we'll just stick to that one. Whichever N it is. Because you have so many ways you can put the Sanskrit together. You have many different kind of, schools of thought. We'll just use our one. Verses 32 to 41. The sages curse Bharat's sons. I shall now tell you in detail how Drama came to the earth from heaven, for I am unable to withhold anything from you. All these sons of mine, being intoxicated with the knowledge of the Natya Veda, practiced in course of time and art, tiring the entire people with prahasanas connected with laughter. And they, on purpose, produced in an assembly of spectators a play which caricatured the sages, and which was unacceptable and full of wicked acts, and which encouraged rural manners, and was cruel and inauspicious. So, in other words, from the pride of knowing this and the effect that whatever they could do, they could make the people laugh and be absorbed. And, you know, they wanted to make them cry, they cried. They wanted to make them laugh, they laughed. You know, whatever it is that they had that kind of power from this knowledge from Brahma, like that, then they became proud. And so then they did a parody on the sages, you know, which was inappropriate. Like you see, was it Samba?
Samba.
You know, then, you know, were goofing on the sages, and that didn't work out. So if it doesn't work out for Krishna's own kids, why will it work out for these guys? Like that. In other words, that's an area you don't mess with. You know, or you had that one in Mahabharata, the five lakes in South India that had the five crocodiles. Yeah, so there was a yogi doing penance and that, you know, very young and good looking, and these upstarts were going by and they became, you know, attracted like that. So they thought, oh, hey, let's harass this guy. So they did, and so because of that, then they got turned into crocodiles. Because that's the thing about crocodiles, is they'll come and catch you even if they're not hungry. They'll catch you and keep you for later, like I'll put you under a rock or something. Like alligators and that, they've eaten, you can walk right by, they won't bother you. Like that. But crocodiles still, like that. So that's the whole point, is crocodile will attack for no reason. Therefore, he turned them into crocodiles. Right? So the whole point is don't mess with sages. That's the point being here. Don't goof on sages.
Also, Maharaj, another point is, you may be having like a very high position by your karma, but that doesn't mean just because now you are reaping the fruits of your pious credit, still you need to maintain the proper etiquette. Otherwise, it will just diminish in a moment.
Yes.
Same with money, same with anything.
Yes. The etiquette must be real. So character is always the thing, as we see as Abhideya being the middle point, but then when we say the name form qualities and pastimes means the qualities is the point on which Abhideya works. So we saw as all the lead positions, it's because of their good character. And all the lower positions are all because of their bad character. So character is on what you work with. So if character is not maintained, you can't maintain your position. So that's why you see people get money position, they become proud, it'll be lost. It'll create trouble. On hearing this, the sages were extremely angry and spoke to them, i.e. the sons of Bharata, burning them, as it were, with their words. O Brahmanas, it is not proper that we should be thus caricatured. What is this insult for? And what is your intention? Means, you know, it's not proper. So why did, you know, because like maybe it's something they didn't know or this and that. So they could have said, oh, but at this time you were saying this, you did this. Then they can go, okay, that's correct, but still you shouldn't say it like this or... You know, like you see, the Vidushak, he can just say it with jokes. It doesn't matter what it is, he's always joking and laughing and all this and that. Or remember the other day, there's this, I don't know, he comes around to you, he comes around and collects for different programs for the temples up the road. No? Yeah? Yeah, but he's always laughing. Even if he's asking you for more money, he's laughing. So he's always trying to present it in a pleasant way like that. You know, he's very like that. He comes, he behaves very nicely and all that. So basically, he's kind of like the Vidushak, and he's really good at that collecting like that. So it's just, you know, it works. There's certain ways to do, but the way they did, that's improper. As due to pride in your knowledge of drama, you have taken to arrogance, avinaya. Your evil knowledge will get destroyed. In the community of sages and Brahmins, or in meeting them, you will appear as being no followers of the Vedas and will attain the character of Shudras. You will become mere Shudras and attain their functions. And those to be born in your line will be impure. And so we see is that that actors, you know, take on this aspect of Shudras, then that goes back to this point here, is that the original actors then became like that. And you see is that they very much have this. It's if you find an actor who's not like this, that's a rare thing. You know, that's a rare thing. Because generally, they're the ones that, like we were saying before, can play such a wide range of roles and ages and moods, and they cooperate, they don't make trouble, they don't do all those things. You know, so actually they're closer to what an actor should be, like that. And so then that was the problem, is before it was all done. And so then. So this is the original sin here of actors, right? Verses 42 to 51, consolation of Bharata's sons. Gods, on hearing the origin of curse on my sons, became anxious and approached the sages. The gods, with Sakara, Indra as their leader, said, afflicted thus with misery, the drama will perish. The sages said in reply that drama would not perish, but the remaining portion of their curse would take effect in its entirety. So drama would remain, but them becoming Shudras, that's going to happen. Right? Because otherwise, then it would have been they just became Shudras and disappeared. But because the gods were worried, then they said, don't worry. Drama will stay in place because it's a good thing. But the problem is they misuse. On hearing the words of the sages of terrible spirit, my sons became sad. And with a desire to kill themselves, they approached me and said, we have been totally ruined by you. And for the fault of drama, we have been made to take to Shudra conduct. Right? So now it's like, now they've been ruined by their father who taught them this. And then they took that and then misused it. And now, see, it's your fault. You gave us this drama. But we see as also others that they just stuck to Brahminical things like, you know, their knowledge or their ritual. They also, by arrogance, got the same results. Like that. So it's not to do with this. But, you know, that. So you can see already it's having its effect.
Today's Brahmins are all... they curse their profession like this.
Yeah. You know, that they can't make more money. For their consolation, I said, do not be sorry for it. The rule that words of sages will never prove untrue has indeed been made by fate, kritanta. So you should not turn to the destruction of your own selves. After being thus consoled, remember that this dramatic art has been described by Brahman himself. So teach it to your disciples and others through its practice. Do not destroy this drama which has been devised with great difficulty and which depends on great things, brings merit and has its origin in the Vedas, their angas and upangas. After holding the performance of a drama according to rules, which I have heard from apsaras, you are to undergo a purificatory ceremony, prayaschitta. Verses 52 to 63. Nahusha invites divine artists to the earth. In course of time, a king named Nahusha attained the kingdom of heaven through his polity, intelligence, and prowess. He then governed the kingdom and obtained a divine prosperity, Vyushti. And on seeing the musical performance, Gandharva, and drama of the gods,
He became anxious for these, and he thought within himself as to how the dramatic performance of gods might be held in his own house on earth, and he thus spoke with joined palms to the gods. Let the drama produced by the apsaras be performed in our house on earth. Right? Yeah. But in reply to this, the gods with Brihaspati, as their leader, said to him, "The meeting of divine damsels and human beings has not been prescribed anywhere. But as you are the Lord of Heaven, you should be given an advice which is friendly as well as suitable." Then the king who joined palms said to me, "Revered sir, I should like to see this dramatic performance established on the earth. I have been promised earlier by gods your service as a trainer. O best of brahmanas, I now got it directly by approaching you. I have now got it directly by approaching you. In the house of my grandfather, Puru Ravas, this drama together with his work has been described by Urvasi to the members of the harem. But when the members of the harem were distressed on the death of the king, who became insane due to her disappearance, this dramatic art was lost. I wish this again to be openly produced on the earth during sacrifices to be done on different days of the moon, so that a happy and auspicious situation may arise. Hence, plays relating to many characters produced in my house through graceful movement of women will add to your fame." During sacrifices to be done. So then when you're doing so therefore that's why it's natural when you're doing big festivals and this, then dramas always go along with it. Like, the Sringadeva, then you do one on that, or Ramayana, you do dramas on that. So it all adds to it. 64-76. Bharat grants his request and sends his sons to the earth. Let this be so, I said in reply to the king Nahusha, and called my sons, and spoke to them as well as to the gods the conciliatory words as follows. This king Nahusha begs us with joined palms, you may go down for your own good to the earth to produce drama there. Drama being produced there, I shall make an end of your curse, and you will no longer be despised by Brahmins and kings. So go down to the earth and produce drama there, for I shall not be able to disregard the words of this earthly king. For us all and for the magnanimous Nahusha, the self-born one, Brahma, has said that success in drama would depend on his authoritative instruction, Atopadesha. The rest will be related by Kohala in his supplementary treatise, Uttara Tantra, which also will treat of more rules on the application of dramatic art, the memorial verses, Kartika, and the etymologies, Nirukta. For the purpose of diversion, this shastra has been established by me in heaven with the help of apsaras and the sage Svati and Narada. Then, O Brahmins, they went down to the earth in the house of Nahusha and devised in due order the production of various plays with the help of women. Afterwards, they, my sons, begot progeny in women of the earth and devised for them more dramas on various themes. On begetting sons and devising plays in due order, they were permitted to return again to heaven. Thus, through a curse, the dramatic performance has been brought down to the earth, and the successive generations of dramatic artists, Bharata, have come into being. Kohala and others, together with Vatsya, Sandilya, and Durtila, Dattila, stayed on this earth for some time as mortals and put into practice this shastra, which augments the intellects of men, deals with the deeds of the three worlds, and is a specimen of all other shastras. Verses 77-83, final benediction of the Natya Shastra. He who always hears the reading of that shastra, which is auspicious, sportful, originated from Brahma's mouth, very holy, pure, good, destructive of sins, and who puts into practice and witnesses carefully the performance of a drama, will attain the same blessed goal which masters of Vedic knowledge and performers of sacrifice or givers of gifts will attain in the end. Of all duties of the king, this has been proclaimed as possessing the best result, Mahaphala. Of all kinds of charities, allowing people to enjoy a dramatic show without payment has been praised most. Yeah, so that's why then people would host it. Mm-hmm. Wealthy people then would host and put on. And then that's a big charity.
Yes.
You know, because in it, then people, you're doing dramas about the Lord and his devotees and the demigod, you know, that whole thing. And so then everybody's consciousness is elevated, and so then it becomes a very great. Of all kinds of gods are never so pleased on being worshipped with scents and garlands as they are delighted with the performance of dramas. Because, you know, then they're in the drama and everything like that. And people appreciate. The man who properly attends the performance of music, Gandharva, and dramas will, after his death, attain the happy and meritorious path in the company of Brahminic sages. Thus, many practices sanctioned by Shastra have been described in connection with the performance of dramas. Whatever remains unmentioned should be included into practice by experts from an observation of people, i.e. their usage. What more should I say? Let the earth be full of grains and be free from disease for all time. Let there be peace for cows and Brahmins. And let the king protect thus the entire earth. Yes. Okay. So that's the end of the Natyashastra.
Conclusion.
Yes, then we'll have the start. Tomorrow we'll do the conclusion.
This is the conclusion, no?
The things that here, but then after, you know, like when we finish the chapter, we bring the whole thing
summary,
together, all the essential points for the whole thing.
Summary.
Yeah, summary like that. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.